Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we are joined by another crazy person. Yes, it's another one of those people who may not have an entire brain and signed up to run Swami Shuffle 200 on the Outer Banks in February. Mr. Joel Herman, are you ready to go for a run?
Hey, I'm ready to go, Mike. Anytime. Let's do it.
All right. Was that a perfect description? Do you have a brain?
Well, I did until I got into ultra running, and I think it kind of went away.
Exactly. Yeah. Brains are way overrated, I think. So, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Just get out there and do it. Don't worry about it. And just, don't have to think about anything. You just put one foot in front of the other and keep on moving.
Exactly. So, Joel, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Family? What do you do for a living? All that good stuff.
Well, of course, my name is Joel Herman. I got a nickname. You can call me Herm. Not a lot of people that know me now know that, but I can go by Herm quite often. So I grew up in a little town in Northwest Iowa called Pocahontas. And then as soon as I graduated high school, I tried the college thing for a little bit. First semester didn't work out. So I joined the Army, and then I stayed in the Army for 22 years. So I joined in 1994, retired in 2016, and the rest is history. And shortly after that is when I got into the ultra running. Now, since retiring, I took a job as a contractor for the Department of Defense. So that's what I've been doing since retiring in 2016. And here we are.
Awesome. And now, do you have family here? Are you married?
Yep.
Unmarried?
Married for, let's see, since 1998. So what would that make?
Wow.
I'm not good at math. I
that would be
suffer from fuzzy army math.
26
So,
years there, Joel. I'll help you with the math there.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, this would be 27 years this year.
Coming up on 27. So, I met my wife while in the Army. We were both stationed in Germany at the time. And she was an MP out of Heidelberg, Germany, stationed out of
And she
Heidelberg.
arrested you.
Well, close, but not quite. I was on my best behavior, but we did meet in a beer tent in Tazar, Hungary. That's how we got started.
That's
And
awesome.
I was on a deployment to Bosnia. I was just my unit was just ending our deployment to Bosnia, and her unit was just starting, and we had a chance meeting in the beer tent there and talked for a couple hours, swapped mail and addresses, because that's what people did back then, right? It was pen pals and stuff. So we stayed in touch, just writing letters back and forth. And when she got back with her deployment, we got together, started dating. And 2 years later, almost to the day, 2 years later, we were married. And then that was September 12th, 1998, we got married. And August 2nd, 1999, we were blessed with our one and only child, son Charles, who's now living the good life in South Florida, Naples, Florida, working as an architect. So,
Cool.
His life is doing great things. And, he dabbles into running a little bit, not quite as much as dad does, but he likes to do a little bit of running on his own, and he'll do a 5K here and there. So, I love to see that. And,
That's
one
awesome.
day we're going to do, hopefully we'll do a half marathon or maybe a marathon together. I keep telling him that.
Talk him
So,
into a 50K or, 50 miler or,
we'll,
24 hour,
yeah,
200
sure.
miles, whatever, right?
We'll start small first.
There
We
you
got
go.
to build them up. So,
All right, fine, fine. I think you start with a 100 miler and then just, everything else is all easy.
Yeah, there you go. So maybe we'll break him in that way. But
that's crazy. So how did you get into running? I mean, I know the Army made you run.
Yep. The Army
Because
loves to run, so
you were a grunt in the Army, right?
I spent my entire career as an infantryman. I was a mechanized infantryman on the Bradley fighting vehicle for the first half of my career. Then I went to an airborne unit for one tour, and then finished off with a before I did my last assignment was a desk job, but before that, so I did light. So I was mechanized, I was airborne, and I was a light infantryman for my whole career.
Wow.
But yeah, the Army loves to run. But before that, when I was growing up in high school, I was an athlete. So I ran track and cross country and ran pretty well. I was my freshman to senior year, and in high school I was the 1 mile and 2 mile guy, and I broke the 5 minute mark
Wow.
at one time in the mile, and I was I think my best time was a 10:18 in the 2 mile, qualified for state in the 2 mile run. So I was already a pretty good athlete before I joined the Army, and of course got in the Army, and like I said, the Army loves to run. And I'm going to tell you something, Mike, that is going to really surprise you here.
Okay.
And there's a good nugget out of this too. So for most of my career in the Army, I was a very heavy smoker. I was a chain smoker for almost 16 years, and I dipped heavily as well. So I finally broke that habit after 16 years in the Army. I was probably smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day, going through a can of
No
dip a day.
way. Are you
Yes, sir.
serious?
I am dead serious.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I would have
Yeah,
never thought
so.
that.
And I was in Iraq when I stopped, and in some sleeping quarters with my soldiers around me, and I was a platoon sergeant at the time. And one of my soldiers is like, "Hey, Sergeant Herman, are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm okay, weirdo. Why do you ask?" And he's like, "Well, you were wheezing so bad last night. I thought there was something wrong with you." And then that kind of stuck with me, and I'm like, "Oh wow." At the time, my son was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I'm like, "My God, if I keep this up, I'm going to be dead before I'm 50. So I got to make some changes here." So I woke up on May 1st, 2011, and said, "I am done with tobacco. That's it." And I haven't had a cigarette or a dip since probably April 30th of 2011.
That's
And then,
awesome. Wow.
yep. So for anybody that's out there that is struggling with that, you can make that change. And I did it cold turkey. I know some people, may need some help along the way, but right now at 50, when I quit smoking at that point, I was thinking, if I keep this up, I'm going to be dead by the time I'm 50. I just turned 50 and I'm an ultra marathoner, so life is great. I run like never ran before. I feel like I'm in the best shape of my entire life. And if I wouldn't have quit smoking, I might be dead right now. So who knows? And
What
I
a
certainly,
great story.
yep.
That's awesome.
And I certainly
Wow.
wouldn't have met great people like you and some of the other great runners that I've met here in the Hampton Roads area in the last couple of years since I broke into this thing.
So how
But
did you end up in Hampton Roads? Is it because of the Fort Eustis transportation thing or what?
No, so my wife was actually born and raised in Newport News, so this is where I
Really?
was gonna, yeah, yep. So this is where I was gonna retire anyways. And in 2009 to 2012, I was working at Fort Stewart, Georgia, and I left my wife and my son here while I did that assignment. Her father had recently passed away. Her mother passed away, in 96. So her father left her the house, so I just left them here, and I did 3 years at Fort Stewart by myself as Geo Bachelor's, what they call us. So
Right.
I did that, and would come back, for the weekends, or they'd come up and see me for the weekend. And then after that 3 years at Fort Stewart, the Army wanted to send me to Oklahoma, and I called up my branch manager, and I'm like, I can't go another 1,000 miles west. I need something in Virginia. And they found a job in Suffolk for me at the Joint Staff Complex there. And so I took it and reported there in 2012, stayed there for 4 years. This is an office job behind a desk, so I wasn't doing infantry stuff for my last assignment, but that's okay. So I did that and decided to retire in 2016, and because I was already home where I was going to make my retired life. And that's how I ended up here.
That's
Just because,
fantastic. Wow. How cool. So 22 years of service. Thank you so much for serving for that long. That's amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You got it. So then you started running kind of in the 2016, 2017, seriously, right?
Yeah, so I think while I was still in uniform, I think in 2014 or 2015, I think I did the Army 10-miler twice, but I'd never been over that. And then once I retired in 2016, I was all set and ready to live that life of as an angry, fat, disgruntled veteran with a lot of health problems and mad at the world and angry at everybody. And so that's the road I started on right after I retired. And early on in 2017, a buddy of mine that worked out with Keith Foster and I, He's like, hey, Joel, do you want to for a marathon, the Richmond Marathon? And this was like April 2017, March or April 2017. And the Richmond Marathon wasn't going to happen until November. I scoffed at the idea. I'm like, God, there's no way I'm going to run a marathon. But he said, well, hey, Keith is doing it, and this guy is doing it, and that guy's doing it. So I'm like, oh, all right, I'll train for this marathon. So I did. I started training for it. And one of the first runs I did, Keith took me on an 8 mile run, and it nearly killed me. After that 8 mile
Wow.
run, I was just like, it was like a Sunday morning, me out to Newport News Park, and we ran all over the place for 8 miles, and I was dead. I came back home, I laid on the couch, and I didn't move the rest of the day. And so I'm like, oh my God, this is gonna be rough. So I just started running, started training, and month after month, I got really, really super good. I followed a training plan of just three runs a week, a long slow distance run on Sundays, a tempo run on Tuesdays, and I did intervals on Thursdays. And I followed that routine probably, my gosh, from 2017 to through 2020. That was on that same
Wow.
routine religiously, 3 days a week. I rarely missed a run. Really, if it wasn't for these guys talking me into training for this marathon, because after I ran that Richmond Marathon, I think I ran it in 3:51. Then as soon as I got home, I signed up for another marathon. I was like,
Wow.
my whole mindset changed. I'm like, man, I don't want to be an angry, disgruntled veteran with a lot of health problems. I want to be a healthy veteran. I want to inspire people to get out there and run. So my whole mindset changed just after that one marathon, and I was hooked, and I just kept signing up for race after race. And that's really how it started. And
That's amazing. That's awesome. I'm so glad you brought up Keith. So we're going to have Keith Foster on another podcast. So those of you who know Keith and Joel, anybody in the Hampton Roads area who runs any of the local races know that if you see Joel, you're going to see Keith. If you see Keith, you're going to see Joel. You guys just run together all the time, don't you?
Yeah, we do. And we started, he was a contractor out there at the Joint Staff Complex. I was still in uniform. This was probably 2013 is when we met. We became workout partners, kind of hit it off right off the bat. We similar physical attributes, I guess, and lifted the same amount of weights and stuff like that. So we're kind of matched up naturally. And so that's where I got started, 2013, 2014. And then I retired, and then Keith stopped working there, and I think it was like at the end of 2019. I hadn't seen Keith for like a year or two, and he just sends me a text message. He's like, hey, are you still running? And I'm like, yeah, I'm still running. He's like, well, I want to get back into it, and I want to train for the Newport News Marathon. He's like, you want to run with me? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So I started training with Keith for that, and we did the Newport News Marathon in right before COVID hit. I think it was one of the first marathons that they didn't cancel or phone or whatever, because it was like March 1st of 2020.
Okay.
But after that, it's like since 2020, every race that we've done together. We've
That's
stuck
awesome.
together. Yep. And
That is amazing.
it may be, sometimes we don't finish together. A lot of times we do. Sometimes he gets out, he finishes ahead of me. Sometimes I might finish ahead of him, but we're always right there. We always train together, work out together. We go to the same CrossFit box together, work out together. So yeah, so since 2020, any running event that we've done, we pretty much, you'll see us out there. Who we are, Keith and Joel. So
Absolutely. Yeah,
just like you
you've
said.
got the beard that I'm jealous of.
Oh
I want to, Joel has got the best beard, guys. I'm just telling you. He's the beard you want to have is what Joel has. So I'm just going to lay that out there. It's just truth. So there.
I'll tell you, I'm growing this beard. I haven't well, I've kind of trimmed it up a little bit. I gotta kind of get a little bit trimmed for what I do, but for the most part, I'm growing it long for this race for the Swami, right? So
That's right.
I want it to be as big as possible for Swami, because it just kind of, I don't know, it's just me, it's like big
Well, you
beard,
know,
that's what I
the
want to
best
do.
thing about big beards is you can hide food in them.
Oh, I'm reminded of that every night by my wife, and
Well,
she doesn't particularly like it. But I'm like, God, don't worry. After March 1st, I'm going to cut it back a little bit, and it's going to look neat and trimmed again, but not before Swami's over.
There you go. That's awesome.
The beard this time, the big beard this time is for Swami. So that's what it's
Nope.
for.
So let's talk a little bit about Swami.
Okay.
So you've never even run a 100 miler.
I got close with the cancer run last year. I put in 80 in
Okay.
24. So, yep. So that's
So
as close as I've got.
80 is your longest distance. And so all of a sudden you decide I'm gonna go run 222 miles from Sandbridge to Cape Hatteras Lighthouse and back. What prompted that?
Well, you initially, because of Keith said, "Hey, did you see what Mike did? This was last year. He did, this 200-mile race in the Swami Shelf." So initially, it was you that put something out there that we looked at and like, "Yeah, let's do that." And these events, like for Swami, are the ones that I'm most interested to do because it's more about more than me. It's bigger than me. It's about what it represents, about who it honors, and who it helps, right? So I've got enough medals and stuff from marathons that I've done in the past several years. But this, I think I want to do this one more just because of what it represents. And I'm more focused on it. I train harder for it. I'll be honest with you, the pressure's on because I don't want to fail this one just because of what it represents. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying? So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
yes.
Well,
So, and
you'll hear James say this when we line up on the start line. And this is what's going to get you through every single hard part of this, 'cause we've been out doing, training runs, and we've talked a lot about this and everything. There's going to be some real down in the dumps times during this run. But James always says one thing. He says, when you get to your lowest point, think about a veteran who's getting ready to commit suicide. And if you
yep.
don't want to send the signal to that person that it's not time to give up, then you don't give up.
That's a great way to look at it. And honestly, myself, I am personally affected by veteran suicide. I know several people that have lost their battle with their demons. So it makes it even more special for me to take on this challenge. Now, I know anything can happen, and that's part of my fear is something's going to happen that I'm not going to finish. But I got to get that out of my mind. And I'll be honest with you, no matter what race I do, if anything above marathon, my worst miles are between 13 and 18 for some reason. I have to weather a storm
Yep.
every race between miles 13 and 18. And I don't know why it is, what it is about those certain miles, but those are the miles where it's the toughest for me. Once I get beyond 18, something flips, a switch flips or whatever, and I'm good from that point on. But I got to weather that storm. So, the pressure's on for this one. I don't want to fail this mission. Like I said, it's bigger than me. It's not about a personal best, or it's nothing for me to do personally to get a medal or swag or anything like that. I want to do it for what it represents, if that makes sense to you.
Absolutely does. And
Yeah.
I'm glad you touched on the fact that this is personal for you because you know people who have lost their battle.
Yep, absolutely.
And so, I mean, that's a big thing about it. And I think you and Keith are going to find out that everybody out there racing with you is racing with you, not against you. So that's one of the things I love about ultras is that's kind of our whole community, isn't it? You're not racing against people, you're racing with people, and we're all just going to push ourselves and see how far we can push. So
Oh yeah.
yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's going to
It
be
is, and
fun watching you and Keith.
I haven't been this excited for a race, and this is probably the race that I'm the most excited for out of any race that I've ever done, even my first marathon. There's something about it. I can't wait to get started. I can't wait to take on this challenge. I'm just really looking forward to this. And the guys that are running it, like you and Thomas, that have already done it, It was so awesome just last week to put in some miles with you guys and to pick your brains and just soak in all the information to help us get through this thing. And I can only imagine that at the end of this day, anybody that finishes it, there's like a special bond with everybody that does finish this, because this is one heck of a challenge that we're getting ready to take on. And I know you've been through it twice now. This will be your
Twice
third.
now. Yeah, this will be third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody becomes family. It's kind of like, you've been through combat, so you know what it's
Right.
like
Yep.
to go through combat. And the brothers and sisters that you go through combat with, I mean, those people become lots closer than family even.
Yeah.
And Swami, it's not combat by any stretch of the imagination, but man, there are going to be times where it's just gonna get dark. I mean, just
Yeah.
really, really dark. And knowing that there's other people, like I'll give you a great example. Last year, when I left the Salvo Honey House and was so sick that I didn't know what was going on, and then, laying in the sand and everything for hours, the thing that kept me moving towards the lighthouse when I didn't really feel like I could physically move another inch was it seemed like about every maybe half hour to hour, somebody would come out of the dark coming back from the lighthouse and just, cross the road, spend time talking to me and just encouraging you. And that's what you're going to find out. So my favorite part of this course is that whole area from Rodanthe to the lighthouse, because that's when you see every other competitor out there. You're either going to see them on your way down to the lighthouse and they're coming back, or you're going to be coming back from the lighthouse and there's still going to be some that are going down. And you see every other person that's out there in that Rodanthe to lighthouse stretch. It's my least favorite and my favorite section of the entire race. So yeah, so that's the part to look forward to, and to not look forward to, because you'll find out in our next training run that, man, it just truly sucks. So yeah. I when you're in the dark, my favorite thing is I tell people, when you're going down to the lighthouse in the dark, you can literally begin to see the lighthouse turning in the distance from the edge of Avon all the way to the lighthouse.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like 8.5 miles. You
Yep.
can
Okay.
see where you're going for 8.5 miles.
Wow.
It's amazing. There might be cuss words. So,
Yeah, I'm sure there will be.
yes, it'll be awesome.
I was going to say, the great thing about running with Keith is, we can go like on a 20-mile run and I won't say one single word, right? Believe it or not, as quiet as Keith is, he is a talker out there on the run, right? He will tell me, we'll be running for like 5 miles and neither one of us are saying anything. And all of a sudden he'll be like, "Hey, Joe, I watched a movie last night." And then he'll go through and he'll spend like the next 2 hours telling me this movie from the beginning to the end with detail about this movie. I just like
That's
I'm
awesome.
watching it, right?
That is
And then
awesome.
and he'll get done. I'm like, "Oh, well, what's that movie called?" And he'll be like, "I don't know." And then I'm like, "Well, who was in it?" "Oh, I don't know, but he'll
That's
know
awesome.
everything about the movie. So,
That is
that's
awesome.
that's the great thing about Keith. He was a real quiet guy, great guy. I love Keith. I love running with Keith.
Yep.
But he's a talker out there. So, and
Yeah, I
that's good
noticed
for
when
me.
we were going over Jug
Yeah.
Handle this last
Yep.
weekend, I was behind you guys and I was like, wow, Keith just, I didn't, I like, I'd never know, I never knew that Keith talked that much. And the whole Jug Handle, he was talking. I was like, wow, that's probably more words than I've heard Keith say. And I've run with you guys, I mean, a couple times we've been on the same course and everything. So yeah, it was fun. It was a blast.
So that's
Well, I
the
will
great
say
thing
that
about
one of the
Keith.
things I love about your running style is I would say that, like, you have this dogged determination. Like, you get this kind of expression on your face that is really kind of cool to see, because you know when this expression comes on that there's really nothing that's going to beat you.
Yep.
Where does that come from?
So I think the way I grew up, being in the army, it's just a no quit attitude. You know, if I sign up for something, I'm going to follow through with it and I'm going to finish it, you know. And if I don't finish it, I'm not going to feel good about myself. So don't even think about that. Just go out there and finish it. So it's like, I'm going to st if I toe that line, I am going to freaking finish. That is my mindset, you know. So I think that's where it comes from. And a lot of it is probably 22 years in the military and going through a couple hard deployments and stuff like that. But it's also, you know, how I grew up, you know, strong work ethic, being an athlete, you know, a high school athlete, and just don't have that quit in me. You know, I want to take it on and finish the challenge. So I think that's really what
Awesome.
it is.
That's awesome. So, do you and Keith, do you have a strategy for the race?
We do.
Okay.
So like I said, everybody's got a plan to get punched in the mouth. So we're gonna go with our plan till we get punched in the mouth, and then we'll just you know, improvise, adapt, and overcome at that point, I guess. But I think we're gonna take it at 20-mile segments. We can each carry, you know, 20 miles of you know, water, fluids, hydration stuff, little snacks with us before we need to be resupplied. So we're gonna go that route. And every 20 miles, you know, we might stop for an hour, sit down, take a little, you know, load off our feet, maybe munch on a little snack or whatever, resupply ourselves, and then go for the next 20 miles. And I think at the 40-mile mark, we want to hit 40 miles in a day. That's the minimum that we want to hit. And at the 40-mile mark, we'll take a longer break, maybe take a shower, eat a bigger meal with more substance, maybe take a couple hour nap, and then get up and go again for the next 20 miles, and kind of follow that plan all the way through. Now that's the plan. I don't know how well it's going to work out, but that's what we're thinking.
Yeah, well, you got to
And
go into it with a strategy. So, yeah.
and in between those, you know, every 5 miles, we're going to stop. You know, and we've been training this way. We'll run for 5 miles, we'll stop and we'll walk a little bit and snack on something, and then we'll, you know, get done snacking or whatever, and then we'll pick up another jog, and then we'll hit 10 miles, and then we'll stop and walk again, you know. So we've been kind of practicing that for the last several months when we run together.
Okay.
5 miles, take in some calories and take a little walk break, maybe a little sit down break. And then go again, and then take a little longer break at 20 miles, and then take maybe an even longer break at the 40-mile mark.
Okay.
And then, of course, his girlfriend's gonna have the RV out there for us. So that's what we'll plan to take our rest and our showers and our naps and stuff. And then I'm gonna have my wife resupply vehicle every 20 miles with all our goodies that we're gonna need to plus up with after 20 miles. So she'll be kind of the go-to if we need to get a hold of her. Hey, meet us here, we might need this, we might need that. So she'll be going back and forth in between those 20 miles for us. So that's how
Cool.
we're going to use her. So we are going to have some crew help with us, with
There you
his
go.
girlfriend and my wife. So
That's good. That'll be key. That'll be really key. So let's talk about one more thing, because I'm learning more about this and stuff. So we're all next, kind of after we finish Swami's and we recover from it, the next big thing is going to be the Virginia Run for Cancer. And now you've put a team together. So
I did.
tell us about the team and why we're going to go out and see just how many miles we can lay down in a 24-hour period.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm glad and happy that you're on the team. I think it's wonderful that you joined my team. And I created the team. This will be our 3rd year in the Virginia 24-hour Run for Cancer. And the 1st year, Keith and I both did it as individuals. And then last year, I created a team, Miles of Smiles for Julie. And I named that in honor of my big sister, who for most of her 40s fought a courageous battle with cancer. And we were very close growing up. You know, less than 2 years separated us in age. So she was my older sister. So she was like my very first friend that I knew. And we were close all through high school, all our lives. We were very close. And so I think she was 41 and she was like diagnosed right off the bat with terminal cancer. She was diagnosed with a rare form of non-smoking lung cancer found in women is what I
Wow.
remember they called it. And she didn't want to know how much time she had left. They just told her she was terminal. She's like, "Well, don't tell me how much time I got left." And so she lived for like 7 more years and just fought. But
Awesome.
eventually the cancer kind of spread to her spine and then her brain. But the one thing about my sister is always had a smile on her face. No matter how bad things got for her, she always had a smile. You will not find a picture of her from the time we were kids to the time, and when she passed away, she had a smile on her face.
Wow.
So she always had a smile on her face, always thought she was going to get better. 3 weeks before she passed away, she was trying to get out of bed to cook us all dinner. That's just the type of person she was. Very strong,
Wow.
courageous, amazing woman. Left behind, a beautiful daughter, two young sons. She's got a granddaughter and a grandson, and now another grandson that just recently came along. So, young kids and everything. Just terrible to see her fight through her 40s. But, she never wanted sympathy. She hated it when people would feel sorry for her, and she didn't want it. She didn't want to hear it. And she always had a smile on her face. She was a very strong woman. And that's why I created the team Miles of Smiles for Julie, because she always had a smile on her face. So on April 26th and 27th, the team is going to come together and we're going to run a bunch of miles, as many miles as we can. And we're going to all have smiles on our faces to do it. Just in
Absolutely.
honor of my sister, and not just my sister, but for anybody that went through or is going through the battle right now. So we
Yeah.
run to honor them. Honor their lives and those that have maybe lost their lives already because of cancer. So that's what we're going
Awesome. Man, you've got quite the 2025 lined up.
Yes, sir.
I love the fact that you don't just run just to go get another medal, a t-shirt, a hat, whatever it is, the swag. You're running because of something.
And I think those are the best events for me that I look forward to running. Swami, I was like, yeah, I want to do this because of what it represents. Cancer Run, I want to do that for what it represents. And in the past, in 2018, I ran a Marine Corps marathon, and before I ran that marathon, one of my best Army buds, his wife, her father had passed away, and he was a Marine Corps veteran in Vietnam. So I ran the marathon, the Marine Corps marathon, and then I donated the medal and all the swag to his family. So
Awesome.
when I can do something like that, it makes the race more special. I don't need any more medals, and if I can run for somebody else and honor somebody else's life, then that makes it more special for me, and it makes me train harder, and it makes me more determined than ever to finish an event. So
That's awesome. And you're just getting started. You're only 50. You're a youngin'.
yeah, I'm a youngin', and I'm trying to get like you, Mike. I want to go all over the place. I was like, man, you said Mike was in Arizona running, for 3 days. I want to do that. I want to go to these different places and do all this stuff. So maybe that's in my future, in my near future,
There you go. You will.
sooner
You
than I
will.
hope. So yeah.
That, yeah, it'll be a blast, man. It'll be a blast. Such an honor to get to know you over the last couple of years, and just spending some miles with you has just it always makes me smile. So it always just lifts my spirits to be able to run with you, because like I said, you've got that dogged determination. You've got an incredible attitude about, the whole running and the approach to it. And I love your style, man.
I appreciate that, and I've really gotten to appreciate knowing you and running some miles. And I really look forward to running to Swami with you, and let's do this, man. And I can't wait to run more events with you. Cancer Run, bring it on. Let's do it, Mike.
You got it, man. It's going to be a blast. Okay, so this is the way we kind of end all these things. As you know, name of the podcast, Living and Ultra Life. When you hear that, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
The first thing that pops into my head, living in an ultra life. Well, you obviously, of course. So I love listening to your podcast, but it also for me is all the people that you have on your on your podcast and different experiences and different runners and stuff like that. And some of them I know, some of them I don't, and hopefully I get to meet a lot of them somewhere down the line. So that's what I think when I hear living in an ultra life.
That
Just
is awesome.
the people that run it, the people that we encourage to get out there, even if it's their first one or whatever. I'm sure you have a lot of influence on that. So really great what you're doing. I love listening to your podcast.
Thank you, Joel. Man, it's a
Yep.
pleasure to have you on, dude. And can't
Absolutely.
wait to share some more miles with you. It's going to be a blast.
Yep, sure will.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.